What if I told you the most valuable piece of infrastructure in a massive modern city isn't its highway system or, its power grid, but instead it's the dirt, the plants, and the water it was built on top of? Welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah, it really sounds backwards at first, but it is so true.
Right. So we've got a fascinating stack of sources in front of us today. We are looking at the official 2017 environmental strategy from the city of Cape Town, along with some supporting research articles.
And our own analytical notes, of course.
Exactly. Our mission is to figure out how a highly unequal, rapidly expanding urban area tries to survive and thrive, really, while sitting squarely in the middle of a global biodiversity hotspot.
It's a massive challenge. Like, how do you balance the desperate need for economic growth with protecting nature?
Right. And if you've ever wondered about that, this document completely flips the traditional script.
It really does. It throws out the old playbook entirely by
Yeah.
redefining the very concept of sustainability.
Yeah.
I mean, for decades, urban planners relied on this balanced model.
Like a three-legged stool, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You have the economy, society, and the environment. And the goal was to give equal weight to each leg. But the flaw, which this strategy explicitly calls out, is the assumption that those three pillars are interchangeable.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, it assumes that if you pave over a vital natural resource, you can just offset that damage if the new housing development or factory brings in enough cash.
And anyone who has ever sat on a stool with a missing leg knows exactly how that ends up.
Right. You fall over.
The best way to visualize this is to think of Russian nesting dolls. The economy is the smallest doll.
Right, the little one right in the middle.
Yep, and it sits entirely inside the society doll. And then that society doll is completely encased within the largest, outermost doll, the natural environment.
Which is brilliant because the environment is finite, you know.
Yeah.
You cannot substitute an environmental loss with an economic gain. I mean, if that outer nesting doll breaks.
Like if the local ecology degrades to the point where it can't provide clean water or stable soil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then the inner dolls are crushed. You just can't have a functioning economy if society collapses, and society collapses without a functioning environment.
Look, if you're listening to this and thinking, sure, save the trees, but what about human beings? That is the exact tension Cape Town faces.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, this is a city dealing with severe poverty, rapid urbanization, and a massive housing backlog. It feels almost tone-deaf to prioritize a rare flower over building homes and creating jobs.
It might feel that way, but the strategy tackles that skepticism head-on by proving that protecting nature actually is protecting human jobs and survival.
Wait, how so?
Well, the research we're looking at estimates Cape Town's ecosystem services provide between 2 billion and 6 billion rand in value every single year.
Up to 6 billion rand just from the environment existing.
Yeah, because they treat the landscape like an actual utility.
Yeah.
I mean, they have 2,461 square kilometers of city containing 11 critically endangered vegetation types found nowhere else on the planet.
Wow. And that kind of unique biodiversity isn't just a pretty backdrop. It drives massive international tourism, supports unique local agriculture.
And it performs highly specialized ecological jobs
Yep.
that the city would otherwise have to literally pay for.
Right. The tourism and agriculture alone are massive economic engines, but the ecological jobs part is where the municipal budget really sees the impact.
Exactly. Instead of treating nature as a luxury, they treat it as ecological infrastructure. Take flood control, for example.
Okay.
When coastal storms hit, a traditional city drops an absolute fortune building and repairing massive concrete seawalls.
Which are incredibly expensive to maintain and, they eventually crack anyway.
Right. So instead of just pouring more concrete, they lean into soft engineering. They restore natural sand dunes or manage local wetlands.
Because a wetland is basically a massive natural sponge.
Yes, it physically absorbs and slows down storm surges and floodwaters before they ever have the chance to reach the city streets.
But restoring those dunes and wetlands is highly labor-intensive, isn't it?
It is. It requires physical work like planting, clearing alien vegetation, moving earth. And that actively creates green jobs for local communities.
So it's much cheaper for the municipal budget and puts paychecks directly into the hands of the people who need them most.
Exactly, while being far more resilient to extreme weather.
That is incredible. Cape Town's strategy is such a wake-up call. It shows us that nature isn't some scenic wallpaper we can afford to rip down when we need more room.
Right, it is the literal physical foundation that makes urban survival and economic growth possible. Without the mountain, the skyline falls.
Which forces a complete rethink of how urban planning operates. We have to stop viewing city expansion as a wrestling match against nature.
And start recognizing that the city rests entirely upon it.
Which leaves you with this final thought to ponder today. If your own city suddenly calculated the exact financial value of its local ecosystem services.
Like every tree, every park.
Yeah. If they put a hard dollar amount on the flood protection of every single wetland, the air filtration of every public park, and the cooling effect of every street tree, how might that completely change your local tax laws or zoning regulations tomorrow?